down the road, you'd be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the ones you did. So dream, explore, say yes to life. Be inspired to live life as an exciting adventure of discovery. You are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and I'm your host, Mark Susnell. Hi, everybody. This is Mark Susnell. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that makes a difference, that will hopefully inspire you to think differently, to think bigger, to start to think about some of the things that perhaps you haven't done. Mark Twain once said that 20 years from now, your biggest regrets will be the things you didn't do than the things you did. So dream, explore, discover, and sail away from the safe harbor. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to sail away from the safe harbor, and we're going to explore with Sarah Weissman. She's an intuitive. She's a spiritual guide. She has an interesting story. She's an author. She has a blog called The Divine. The Daily Divine is her blog. And she's got a column called Ask Sarah, which is another podcast. And she's a Nautilus Award-winning author. And she's the author of a new book called Messages from the Divine, Wisdom for the Seeker's Soul. So welcome, Sarah Weissman. Welcome to the Inspire Possibility Show.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I think I'm really ready to sail away from the safe shore. So sounds like a wonderful, wonderful thought for today.
Yeah. So I read the materials that your publicist sent. And what's interesting is I see this in a lot of people that I've, you know, had on the show. They've had a near-death experience, and then they had this spiritual awakening. And that seems to be somewhat your story, that we published in a harrowing near-death experience resulted in a sudden opening of consciousness for Nautilus Award-winning author and medium Sarah Weissman. And this incident was the start of a profound and transformative journey and the beginning of her intuitive opening. So let's go back to that time. And what was going on in your life before this experience? Mm. I'm always curious about the before and the after. Here you are, you're going along. And what was your life like then?
Yeah, that's such an interesting way to look at it. So I guess my life was very mainstream. I was married to my first husband, and he was an attorney, and I worked in advertising, and we had kids, and it was just this life of not a lot of questions being asked, or kind of a life in which at least my part in that life was I was just sort of doing what I thought I should do, you know, sort of how society had raised me as a woman. I grew up in Seattle, so just kind of that's what I had been raised to do, sort of. And at the time of this near-death experience, it was more like a near-death trauma is kind of how I think of it now. I was on a plane traveling down to California, actually, to see my dad, who was very ill, and the oxygen went out on the plane. And in that moment, we had to make a emergency landing, and just all that stress and everything that happened, I really had that experience of, they say, you know, your life flashes before your eyes. And it did flash. It just, every piece just kind of came in all at once. And I was so grateful for my life. And then I also had this sense of, just this much bigger presence, you know, at the time in my language. And then I thought of it as God. I just completely felt or knew God, and everything just changed after that. I don't know. It's like, certainly I'd heard of God in church and religion and so forth, but I'd never felt that astounding presence, and some little switch in me just turned on into consciousness and got off the plane a whole different person. And that was the start of all of this exploration in intuition and spirituality.
How long ago was this?
That was back in 2000. So that was back in 2000. So that was a long time ago. Long time on the path since then.
Uh-huh. And then what did you, like, you know, you had this realization and you thought you might die. And so what happened next? I'm always curious about these things.
How they unfold. You know, for a lot of people.
Did you have a conversation with your husband or?
I don't remember that. We subsequently, you know, we got divorced later. My whole life just fell apart, basically. I didn't fit. I realized I didn't fit in my life, the life that I'd created. And it wasn't a lot of people have these near-death experiences, and then it's like beautiful and unicorns and fairies and it's all like lovely. And
right,
for me, it was awful. It was horrible. It was just like the worst, this going into this pit of despair, like, now what? I've seen this or understood this thing, and then now what? I don't know what to do with this.
Uh-huh.
So... yeah.
And so then what happened? So you had this awareness, what changed? So you're changing on the inner level. How did that, did you leave your job or what did you do?
Yeah, I think everything changed. My mm-hmm. job, my relationship. I mean, I think the only thing I brought my kids, you know, they came along on this new path with me, but pretty much the whole other identity just dropped. And then there was a lot of wondering, you know, well, what is the new identity? Because I had so much to learn. I didn't know about spirituality. I didn't know anything really. I was really wandering lost for a long time.
Uh-huh. So there's an echo on the line. I'm wondering if there's somebody on your line or there's somebody that's called in. Do you hear that? Or?
Yeah, I heard that. There's nobody. Nobody's on mine.
Right. If somebody's called in on another line, to listen to the show, if they could mute it, would be great, so we don't get these other sounds. So you all of a sudden you had this spiritual awareness you never had, and what's interesting is that you talk about your natural psychic abilities, your natural intuitive abilities, and I just actually wrote an article somewhat about being in the zone. And mm-hmm. the idea of simplicity and intuition. And to me, if you just get rid of all the clutter, all your rationalizations, all your thoughts, and you listen inward, it's almost like common sense, what is intuitive. Do you have a similar experience?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've never heard it expressed in that languaging, and I 100% agree with just exactly the way you put it. The languaging I'd use is, you just become really aware of present moment, and
mm-hmm.
everything flows into your awareness. Like, because you're connected with everything, you're able to understand everything all at once. And that's where the, that's what, for me, what intuition is. It's just like you just connect into it all and, yeah, mm-hmm. letting go of the rational thoughts or the societal misbeliefs, or you just pay attention to what is. And it's kind of like, it's so simple in a lot of ways. It's a wondrous trick that's so easy to just tune into that and follow that instead of rational brain.
Well, it's interesting. I did a it was a workshop or a festival called Sports Energy and Consciousness 2 weeks ago, and it was mm-hmm. a new way of hitting the ball, to get in the zone, mm-hmm. to choose to get in the zone rather than how it happens just once in a while. You fall into it, but then you mm-hmm. fall out of it. This is a way to be conscious about choosing, and it was a way of hitting the ball in tennis, and all of a sudden I'm hitting the ball, and it was amazing. And the person I was hitting with, he said, "It's sophisticated," and I always thought of sophisticated as a very complex idea, something that is mm-hmm. almost very intellectual. And I said, "Wow, mm-hmm. I never really heard it that way of it's sophisticated in that sense of simplicity." And then he mentioned what Leonardo da Vinci said, that simplicity is the ultimate experience of sophistication. And it blew my mind. I never mm-hmm, heard that mm-hmm. before. And mm-hmm. and so I wrote this article about simplicity and intuition. And do you like, so in a way, it's get when you get rid of all the other stuff and let what comes to you, it's right in front of you. So how do you teach others in your workshops? I know that you give lots of workshops all over the country, and how do you go about that, about, you know, teaching people to tune into their intuition? What's your approach?
Well, I don't start with consciousness, because I feel like when people show up, they're either going to be really conscious, or they're just kind of starting that path, or maybe they mm-hmm. haven't even jumped into that yet. I don't know. So I kind of leave that alone, and I just start with teaching people how to see symbolically in the mind's eye. And sometimes people mm-hmm. think, oh, well, it's just like imagining, or it's just like picturing in your mind's eye. And, mm-hmm. and my response is, whoever said imagining was bad or fake or false, like that's like the, you know, when you have to shove off on a bike to kind of get it going, that's like your little push off. You just start with imagination, and then the universe sort of takes over from there in terms of the imaging you receive. So I usually start with mind's eye work, and that usually brings such profound results to people, you know, on these questions that they have, that they've been mulling over for a long time. The information comes so quickly, and then they're pretty much sold pretty much right away.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, yeah, occasionally I think the people that have, well, so I just was at Mountain View doing a workshop, and it was all women, and they were from all over the world, because Mountain View is such a diverse, you know, community. And there were people from, yeah, India and China and I'm not sure all the places, but like Russia and Germany and just everywhere, all different kinds of people or women. And so lots of different ways that they had all been raised, you know, culturally, or ways of working with their brain. And pretty mm-hmm. much everybody was able to very, very simply do these, you know, mind tasks. And it was wonderful. It was just wonderful. And just once you start to realize how easy it is, like you just were saying, getting in the zone. You just get into the zone, but it's in your mind's eye. It's like, oh, I can do this. You know, and you know what you were saying about the zone too, what I think is, and I call that flow, just a different word, same idea.
Right.
It's so fun. It feels so good to be in the zone, like to be fully connected. It's
right.
It's not just the hitting the ball. It's like you feel fantastic. You just feel
that's what it is.
Supercharged.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel so awesome because you're connected to everything. So, yeah, same thing. Mind's eye, hitting the ball. It's just all the flow space.
Right. Well, tell us about your new book.
Oh, yeah. So the new book. Messages from the Divine. It's 66 lessons and 66 exercises. And I received the teachings in the book through the process of, I just call it channeling or channeled writing. And it's the classic tale of, I just was woken up at, 4 a.m. many, many, many mornings in a row and just directed, like, it's time to go sit and take dictation from this presence that's would like to provide this information, these teachings. And it kind of takes you through the path of, I guess the main focus of the book is this idea of living from my word, or the word of the teachings is like living from the soul perspective as opposed mm-hmm. to living from ego perspective. And then the second half of the book is how everything is communicating with us all the time, from the trees to your car to the weather. And so the universe is in this absolute conversation with us always. And all we need to do is just kind of begin to become a part of it.
So let's talk a little bit about when you say about coming from a soul perspective rather than ego perspective. So tell us more about that in terms of, I mean, it's listening, again, to that inner voice inside you. Is that what you're talking about when you say a soul perspective, that voice that kind of you get a feeling you should do something to, are you talking about that or are you talking about something else?
Well, the book sort of divvies us as humans up into three parts. And I'm sure there's probably way more parts to us than just three, but
uh-huh.
the way that it's presented is like we're in our body, that's our physical container. And then we have our ego / personality / mind as the unit that usually
uh-huh.
drives things. And then we have this soul, which is just consciousness. And so most of us, our default is to let I sometimes use the word personality instead of ego, but we let that
uh-huh.
ego, personality, mind be in charge like the bulk of the time. And so the book suggests let that go and let this other more diffuse awareness be in charge, or let that be the part of you that leads you through your days instead of the personality, which is a more limited form.
Uh-huh. It's something that I've thought about a lot, and because I, like I mentioned to you off air, that my book was The Soul of Uncertainty, and I started to wonder, and I still at times think about this, is do you distinguish between soul and spirit?
That hasn't been a, I guess, infinite consciousness or
uh-huh.
collective soul, those would be other words. Spirit to me is a little bit more on the mediumship side of things, so we might talk about a spirit being.
Uh-huh.
But I know what you're talking about, but yeah, I haven't, there
yeah.
hasn't been an exploration for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I often
which could
think
be,
about
which,
that.
yeah. Which could be really interesting now that I'm pondering that, but that isn't,
yeah.
that hasn't come
uh-huh.
through yet.
Right. And tell us how people can get your book.
Oh, just go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and go to East West Books if you're in that Mountain View area, which you might be. But it's just readily available.
And then you have you also have a podcast. Tell about your podcast.
Yeah, I had a long time Ask Sarah radio show that was a call-in show for I think 8 years, and that's on a bit of a hiatus, but the archives are still there. And then I have a podcast called Spiritual Psychic that's really pretty popular. It's just like short teachings, and that's on, I think it's on iHeart or Spotify, or you know, just like the the usual gang of suspects, or whatever.
And how often do you do that podcast?
Well, I just set some teaching time, and then maybe I'll do seven, and then I'll just post them out. So it's on a very non-particular schedule, but there's I think there's close to 400 of them, so that people can just drop in and listen to, you know, there's always something that's kind of there to listen to. And they're just spiritual teachings. So a lot of them are similar to the book or some other things, but intuition, those types of topics.
Right. So what would you say to somebody that wants to learn? And a lot of your work, I notice, is really about finding your purpose. What would you say to someone that is questioning what their purpose is?
Well, I think that a lot of people that end up finding me are people that are really, like I sometimes call it, like empaths, intuitives, seekers, and healers. A lot of people are either already doing that work, maybe they already have their own practices, or they really want to step through that door of training in those areas. So even introverts, that's another, or creatives, that's another group that tends to find me pretty easily. So I think that there are, like, I just have one way of teaching. There's lots of teachers, but I think the main thing is to just kind of start exploring. Like you were saying, the Mark Twain, what will you regret have not done in 20 years? It's like, just begin and take it as an experiment. I think, you know, if when I was a kid, when I was taking piano lessons and fighting every moment of it, gosh, what if I'd really taken piano lessons and now I would just be one of those people playing the piano at a party, you know?
I'm doing that right now. I've been taking piano lessons and learning songs.
Yeah.
Same thing about playing at parties, and I'd love to do that. I find that being curious is something that is like a gift to you know, the gift of curiosity, to want to learn and to just to be curious about, wow, what's going on here? How do you do that? And be open to it and to wonder, to have this feeling there's more than we're experiencing right now, and to be able to access that too, because it opens up a whole new world, I think, anyway.
Yeah. And even the simple things, just noticing new things. Like, so on my journey, this is so silly, but I'll tell it anyway. So I ordered an iced tea, and I guess maybe it was at a bubble tea place. I didn't really know. I just wanted an iced tea. And so they handed it back to me, and it was completely covered with this tight plastic seal. So, like, where I live, we don't have that, you know? It was like, so I'm holding this drink going, okay, now how am I going to, like, how do I peel it off? So I figured it out. But it's just interesting. Like, I don't know, somehow, like, we think things are all one way with our little routines and the way society tells us. And then somebody hands you some new thing, and it kind of just blows your world open just a little. It just helps you look at things in a new way, a new paradigm.
Mm-hmm. You know, because this is the Inspire Possibility Show, I always like to ask my guests, what inspires you?
Well, mostly right now, what truly is, I just love trees. I just love trees so much. It's hard to explain. And I live, you know, kind of in Portland area. There are a lot of trees here, mm-hmm. and I live amongst the trees. But I just think they're so cool. They just the different kinds, the way they shed their leaves, the way they are kind of, you know, taking in the light with all these multi-surfaced, you know, the leaves have multi-surface so they can catch the most light and water. I don't know, just something about them. I'm really, really drawn to trees.
Uh-huh. It's interesting. Years ago, I went to a Tai Chi workshop, and mm-hmm. he had us hug. It was up in Mount Shasta, and he had us hug the trees and to feel that energy mm-hmm. of a giant redwood, of just mm-hmm. touching them, feeling their energy. I mean, especially like redwoods, they're ancient. They've been around for some of what, 300, 400, 500 years, I think. Some of them that are this ancient wisdom. And do you like sense a certain wisdom that comes to you when you are in the presence of these trees?
Yeah, I sense full communication, not in language, but I have the sense of full interaction with these other, like, beings is how I, you know, non-human beings. Like, the same way that maybe some people might communicate with animals, I just sense that around plant and tree life. And on this most recent trip, it's funny because the trees are not as used to people noticing them. And so we were at this park and I was doing my normal kind of opening up to that. And there was this sort of element of surprise, like, what? You can see us? You know we're conscious beings too? Like, mostly people don't do that around here. And mm-hmm. It's just kind of interesting. I mean, and maybe people do. I don't know. Just that was just the experience I had in that particular area. It was like the beings were surprised that they were noticed. Which all sounds pretty strange until you go out and sit in the forest and get really still and begin to just open to everything. And it's so clear. And it's not just trees. It's the weather. It's crystals. It's animals. It's the whole shebang, you know. It's all of it's mm-hmm. interconnected.
It's just feeling that oneness with everything.
Yeah, with everything, yeah.
How do people get a hold of you? They want to talk
sure,
to you. I'm sure you do private sessions or workshops. How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can go to sarahweisman.com. And really, I have a lot of self-study courses that are really affordable. Those are with Daily Om. That's my partner there. And then I have group training where I work directly with people and books. There's just a lot of resources for mm-hmm. anyone who's interested.
Mm-hmm. So the main thing is to go to sarahweisman.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. One more question, because we're nearing our time for our conversation. What gives you hope right now? A lot of people are concerned about the world and where it's going and all these discordant voices and what gives you hope right now?
I believe we're about to step through another big shift, something around this lunar eclipse that just happened. I think we're collectively about to, like, move through another little piece of evolution, and I feel that's very near. I've been feeling this for a while. So
uh-huh.
It has been a very scary time, but the scary time has brought up a lot of things that we needed to look at. Like, we needed to look at our collective shadow. And I think that there's going to be a great surging forth of goodness and connecting that's been building. At first we were all afraid, and now we're stepping forward and saying, oh no, we're just going to create this better way. And I think that's very near.
Uh-huh. Well, there we have it. So thank you very much for being our guest on the Inspire Possibility Show and sharing your wisdom and for your courageousness to leave your old life behind and kind of step into the void and to allow what needed to come to you and to share it with so many other people. So thanks again, Sarah Weissman, for being our guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. And until next week when we have another amazing person, bless us, journey on.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. I hope you feel inspired to take the next step in your life. And if you haven't already, please take the time to visit my website at inspirepossibility.com and discover the various services and products we offer that could just very well change your life.